So there are a few things that came to mind, and I want to hang on to two of these thoughts, because one, I think if we think of intimacy as a connection between two people, so intertwined, the fruit of that love is life and life-giving in some way, right? It may or may not be offspring, right? It could just be more fulfillment in life itself, knowing that you have that trusted partner in life.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're both connected in and communing with your source and have that as a center of both of your lives, then the experience of two people connecting after that is so rich and so fulfilling.
Yeah, one of the pictures that helps me understand that connection, which again, I feel like would answer the question, what is the benefit of living from spirit?
Yes.
Is when you understand that we all have one source, the picture that I see is like the sun, the source of energy, and that there's sunbeams coming out from that source that are inherently connected, that can't be disconnected, because they are just an extension of the sun, right? Of the source. And the difference of connecting, you were talking about connecting to a partner, but connecting to anyone.
Yes.
The difference of connecting to them through the ego would be trying to be sunbeam to sunbeam straight across.
Right.
Right? And there's an in between that is a non-existent untruth of darkness, right? Sunbeam to sunbeam,
yeah.
If we're picturing this, if you're picturing a picture. Or the other way of connection would be understanding the source of both of them and connecting through that source
which is the other sunbeam.
Exactly, yeah. Which is a very different...
It's a very different path.
Way to connect, and there's so much beauty. So one, you could connect to your partner, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You could connect straight to source that way,
yeah.
But where it really starts to explode for me is, wait a minute, I could connect to every single person that way.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. Everybody in your family.
Everybody
in your friend group.
Keep going. Everybody
Co-worker,
in your country. Everybody, yeah.
In your village, in your town.
Every living person is connected to that. So then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
We all have the exact same source. And instead of trying to connect straight across through the ego, through all these different definitions and labels and everything, if I connect to you from source... We all just, one, became way closer than I understood. We have way more in common than I thought, and it's beautiful.
It's the most beautiful way to stay connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I was trying to recall earlier that I wanted to mention is that we're talking a lot about love, and a lot of times people go right to the very romantic concept and definition of love. And I know from my own past, that's where so much of my brokenness comes from, in a misunderstanding of love and a misunderstanding of how to go about relationships and building up a lot of attachment and codependence in my life because of not really understanding how to connect to my source. How that influences life and love and relationship and everything, really. And you stumble and you stumble and you stumble and you feel like you don't get it. And it almost breeds more brokenness in the context of romantic love. Or, you know, trying to date.
Yeah. Yeah.
For all you single people out there, there is hope. But I would say that if you are struggling in those areas, that it's not about the relationships necessarily. It's not about the futility of online dating, which is just a complete crazy mess. It might be just an arrow pointing you to the fact that maybe you do need to do some more digging on a spiritual level and sit with sit in some quiet and become comfortable with that sense of being whole in and of yourself, and tapping into your source and your spirit. And then from that perspective and that standpoint and that state of being, then look to connect with other people.
Yep. One, I love that. One of the really helpful ways I've heard that explained is that we are made to be, to need a source,
mm-hmm.
energy, right? To tap into energy source. And what the ego wants to do is to plug into anywhere out here, right?
Yeah.
And what you're talking about is that it's almost like you kind of get it and you're tapped into the fact that connectedness is a source, but I want to plug into a lover. I want to plug into a friend. I want to plug into anybody, plug into someone to receive that truth and that source, that love, that energy. And we naturally are made with this plug to plug into someone. And mm-hmm. what we're talking about is the process of first just maybe realizing, okay, maybe this relationship is broken, or I'm not getting what I need because I'm plugged into a source that's not mine. So
that's not fulfilling.
Yes.
Not sustainable.
Exactly. So unplugging from that and looking to replug into the core source that we already have within us, that we were made with, mm-hmm. and that we are fully covered by, right? Like mm-hmm. that we can live from, because living from this internal full source and then living out that truth is much different than trying to find that meaning and that purpose
somewhere else.
Yeah. So that's a good point, because when we talk about living, what is the benefit of living from the spirit? We're not saying go find that somewhere and plug into it. We're saying that is
turn inward a little bit.
Turn inward, And one of the, I know I keep saying this quote all the time because it's become one of my very favorites, and I still don't know where it comes from. Maybe you know. Nope, I'm not even going to try to say. I don't know. If someone knows, they can tell us. But it's, we are one drop in the entire ocean, but we are also the entire ocean in one drop.
That's attributed to Rumi, who was, I'm going to get his context wrong, so I don't want to say that like you said. I'm like, I don't want to get it wrong. And I'm not going to do a quick Google search while we're talking.
Yeah, but Rumi said it.
Rumi said it, and Rumi, Sufi. He's a Sufi mystic and poet. There we go.
Okay.
I know, it's on the tip of my tongue. So I love Rumi, and a lot of his wisdom writing is so deep and beautiful and transcendent and timeless because he taps into eternal truths.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoy so much of his translated pieces now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That quote that you mentioned.
So then when you internalize that and you start to actually accept that as truth, it starts to help you be able to see how you can live from the spirit, because all of that source, really it comes down to the idea of enoughness,
mm-hmm.
right? That enoughness exists within you, that you are enough because you were made whole, and everything
by an internal overflowing source.
Yes. And that then from there you get the beautiful joy of living in a connected life, mm-hmm. because we all have that, right?
Yes.
And that then you don't need any external person or experience or truth to define your enoughness.
Yes. So you mentioned joy, which I think is also misunderstood by a lot of people, because joy is mostly associated with happiness or the sense mm-hmm. of ecstasy, which is a product of something else in that definition. Like, it's a reaction to something. It's Something happened, I feel joyful. Something happened, I feel happy. Something happened, you know, I'm in ecstasy. But in that definition, it is finite. It is in that moment. So it's momentary and temporary, as opposed to being joy, which is long-lasting, has a sense of eternity in it. Like, it's not something that's temporary. It's something that's permanent. So the huge importance of seeing joy from a different standpoint, though, is that we can realize that even though the circumstances around us might seem like they're falling apart, we can still have joy in those moments. And that is a huge perspective shift.
Mm-hmm. Because really what you're saying right there is that your external circumstances don't have to define what's true.
Whether you're joyful or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that comes from within you. And the more you tap into that sense of gratitude from seeing all things connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so right. Because you know what? That's one of the... Another main thing that has shifted for me is my perception of reality now. So when I used to live from a place of being plugged into other people and all of that, then I would perceive what was happening as definitely from a victim standpoint, right? As it's happening to me.
Yes.
I'm perceiving this brokenness or this experience or whatever as being a victim of it, and thus it's, you know, it's pain, it's all this stuff.
It's pain. It's a consequence.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I did something to deserve this, or I didn't do anything to deserve it, but it's still happening.
Exactly. Okay. Where when you're talking about living out of the truth of enoughness, then anything that's happening is then allowed to be seen through this lens of I am fully whole and enough. Mm-hmm. Thus, whatever's happening can be a situation for growth, expansion, learning, connectedness, right? Like it
can be constructive.
Yeah, it totally redefines. You're not living as a victim anymore.
No, you don't see it as an attack because you know that at your core, you are impenetrable. You can't be hurt in that way by that external force. Not saying that people won't attempt to hurt you or hurt you physically or mentally, and that abuse is something extremely different. I just want to say that to move that off into a different conversation. But when you are coming from that place of communion with your source, then those circumstances are just circumstances external to you, and you can treat them as that and be disconnected from that in a good way, in a healthy way.
Yeah, and I think then it allows you, and I mean, this is obviously stages, so if you're not here yet, that's totally okay.
Yes.
It's a growth of understanding, but things are being hurt, but what you see is my pride is hurt, my ego is hurt, and in a way, you almost welcome that. Not that I'm like, I hope I have a shitty day every day so that I can get stronger, right? But... Yeah. It allows me to see. So, like, a real-life example would be these days when I have an argument with my husband, and they still happen all the bloody time, I used to see them as an attack on my person. I would see it as, why am I not good enough for you? Why, you know, do you constantly not see me? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Now, same kind of arguments arise. But I can see, you know what this is? This is challenging my ego. Mm. This is hurting. This is breaking. This is painful for my pride and for my all these walls that I've built. It hurts to break a wall down, but I see the beauty and the purpose of breaking that wall now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it any more, in a way, fun, but it makes it safer, it makes it welcome,
gives it purpose,
and like you were saying, I honestly still can see the joy and the beauty in it.
Yes. And the other thing is too, you see the other person differently as well,
because that's such a good point.
They could be coming from a place of ego.
Yes.
They don't know it, perhaps. Yes. But if you are aware and tapped in spiritually, then you can say, okay, I see where you're coming from, and you are at a different point on your journey. Even when you are connected in that context of either husband or wife or partner and partner or whatever your relational circumstance might be, it breeds a compassion if you can understand that, that that's where the other person is coming from. Not saying that you need to be open to malice or hate or abuse or anything like that, but you can say, okay, I understand that, and you can make choices differently based on that.
Yes.
You can still decide if that is for you or not, if that situation or circumstance is bringing out life or not. So it's just a different lens and tool to use as well in different situations.
Exactly. Yeah, I really like that, because it really is that process of really, you're awakening to living your own life. You're awake in this life instead of asleep in this life.
That's right.
And then it allows you to be aware of not only all of what's going around on around you, but what I like is you're saying even out beyond you, the connectedness to other people and being aware. It's so true about what is happening within them and for them and to them and all of that.
And you may be able to support them better and identify where they are in their journey and support them if they invite you into that, right? Patrick and I actually talk a lot about how we are on completely different paths in life. And that's a good thing. Like, we recognize that. Like, even though we are in relationship, we've got our eyes on our source. And you're saying there's so many different ways to look at truth. Like, we all see a sliver of it. So we are, Patrick actually describes this really well, that it's like looking at a tree. We're on two different paths walking toward this tree, and we can talk to each other about, oh yeah, I see this on this side, and what do you see on your side? And, you know, he brings out a different truth, and I talk about what it looks like on this side. It's all that same source. But we are having different experiences along that path to that source. And that's so okay. A lot of times we try to be the same in relationships. We strive for sameness. We get equality confused with sameness. And the purpose of our walk is not to be the same as somebody else. It's about having that unique connection with our source. So my walk's not going to look like your walk, but we can talk about it and share about it and maybe learn from each other and challenge each other, but it's not going to be the same.
Yeah, it can't. And it,
no, but that's also the beauty of a relationship too.
Yeah,
and the flowing of love in that spirit.
I really like that.
And we try, this is the other thing that I feel like I've tried to do in the past too. Like, I feel like I need to have that other person who I'm in a relationship with be on the exact same page as I am all the time, either spiritually or from a life perspective. That's not realistic.
Yeah, I heard intimacy redefined. Actually, a few times people have said this, but just seeing it as into me see. And that the relationship with intimacy can just be that of being able to see into someone giving you. So you're on this side of the tree, and the beauty of your relationship with Patrick is that he can say, if you take a moment to see into me, I can give you a perspective that you don't see. And so instead of judging his what he's saying, you're saying, give me the eyes to see, give me the ability to get to see it from your perspective, because look how much more that offers my own walk and experience in this life.
Now, so that's like on a micro level. If we take that and apply it more globally or between different religions or beliefs, like that that allows us to really appreciate what other people are seeing and experiencing and how they do it, and not judge them or say, oh, you're coming at it this way, that's wrong, and say instead, oh, you're seeing this way, how interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree on some of that. The mm-hmm. thing that, and this is just one of the questions I've been asking coming out of a very religious upbringing, mm-hmm. is how do you have discernment of what part of that religion is from the spiritual truth and what mm-hmm. part of that was ego coming in and wanting control? Because I think mm-hmm. every religion has both.
Yes,
every single
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
So then understanding what part of Christianity has been the ego mm-hmm. trying to keep control over a group of people, what part of any religion is the ego, what part of that is ego? And because I think what you're saying is true, is that every expression, every religion probably is trying to express a mm-hmm. spiritual truth, but they're all, because I think it became a religion because mm-hmm. ego wanted to control it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
And it becomes a political thing. And,
yeah.
And not about actual faith and connection to source, but a way to categorize mm-hmm. and control.
Categorize and control,
and
yeah.
organize.
Yeah, and so where can we appreciate a spiritual truth mm-hmm. that exists within that? So an example would be, I've been really getting into yoga, and never did I do yoga growing up. Yeah. I think yoga was probably a swear word in the church I grew up in for a while, right? You didn't say the word.
Really straight-laced.
Yeah. Yeah, shit or yoga. Don't say either of those.
Yeah,
I'm just dropping the Y bomb. Yeah. So, but I've been getting into it lately, and yes, there are parts of it that some people would say, oh, be careful, that's them trying to control spirits or whatever, but there is a beautiful spiritual truth in it of the connectedness of both us, the connectedness of our bodies, like,
yes.
so appreciate,
it's healthy.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
Yeah, so appreciating that there is a spirit in everyone,
yes,
helps you see that, but also knowing, even if, okay, this might be a little bit too of a can of worms, but even if there is ego control on a side, if I truly think and believe that my spirit is whole and untouchable, I can practice yoga without needing to be afraid of
anything.
Yeah, of an evilness coming in.
Gosh.
And that's another thing that I know we get really excited and we love touching on, but basically my point there is being less afraid of truth and more tapped into the innate spirit.
And the freedom of these truths.
Yes.
Like, we don't have to be constrained or feel like we can't experience something because it's going to, you know, hurt us.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah.
Especially things that are healthy. But, like, I think that question about how do we know, how do we discern if something is of ego or of spirit of source or from a good place, is that we can use the measuring stick of love, I think, first and foremost, and say, does this look like love? Does this look like it is coming from a place of kindness and inclusivity, as opposed to, like, are we using this as a weapon?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and going back to how Sandy had described it to us before, that difference of ego and spirit is, does it expand or does mm-hmm. it contract you?
Yes.
Or someone else, right?
Yeah.
So does that belief or that religious practice, does that expand the spirit or does that contract and control? So
exactly. And it's interesting when you mentioned yoga as being something that, you know, when you were growing up, it'd be something that people would look at as being kind of that new worldy, new age, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
that from a Christian perspective would be a little taboo, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation kind of falls into that camp as well. And it's perplexing to me because we are called on to pray and meditate. It's scriptural.
It's true.
Be still and know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we want to get back to Christian scripture references.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, I'm guessing, if anybody is listening and has other references that are outside of, like, the Christian Bible, I would love, love to have you comment and see those. Because meditation is not... I'd rather say what it is. Meditation is an opportunity for us to just sit and be quiet and get past the surface level thoughts and get past the ego and just spend time in communion with Source.
Mm-hmm.
And it is tough. It's mm-hmm. there's a reason why it's considered a discipline. It's because mm-hmm. it takes practice and it takes, like, slowly stepping into it. And you may stumble, you might, you know, get distracted, but there are definitely ways to go about learning how to meditate.
Mm.
And it's not about whether it's Christian meditation or other meditation or any kind of meditation. It just is. It just is a way.
Exactly, because it's allowing time to experience that innate place.
Yeah, and that connection.
Yes.
And it's funny because for Christmas, Patrick gave me a Tibetan prayer bowl, which is used in meditation. And, like, I know a lot of people would look at that and go, ugh, that's Buddhist. Like, you know, why would you even need to use something like that? There doesn't need to be anything between you and God and Source or whatever. But I look at that and the sound that it makes, and it's simply a tool to help focus. And it takes me back to what we were talking about before, how we don't need to be afraid of these things. We don't need to block these things out because we feel like it's an attack on our belief or an attack on, you know, whatever our religion might be. It's none of that, actually. It's simply a bowl that sings. And it's beautiful. Like, if you hear the sound, it literally sounds otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
And if it directs, and this is the other thing, if something directs your attention and your focus back to Source, and the source of life, then that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and used... I like what you said. It's a bowl.
It's
how
a bowl.
You use it, right?
Yeah. A lot comes down to how you use
things.
How you use ideas. How you use references to information. It could be, you know, people use information in negative ways all the time and twist things, or it can be used for good too.
Yeah. Yeah, meditation, that's a really good suggestion on what is it. I mean, when we're asking what's the benefit of living from the spirit, that's a really good suggestion on a daily practice of how mm-hmm. to start to become connected. And I think you're so right about that it doesn't matter how we get there, because I've tried many. I've tried guided meditations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've tried, like, the app.
Is it Calm? There's Calm.
No,
there,
why did it all of a sudden escape my mind? It's just
there's a bunch.
The white or orange circle mm-hmm. in the white.
There is something I know. Well, you know what? If you know any meditation apps, like, comment and throw some links.
Yeah, there's one that it's, like, literally more just breathing practices.
Yes, I was going to actually say that.
Mm-hmm,
people have a tough time accessing meditation or practicing meditation. Just start with breathing.
Yeah.
Like, literally sit for 10 seconds and take some deep breaths.
Yeah. And
just that.
I mean, I'm going through it with my 10-year-old right now. She's starting to appreciate and ask me to do meditations with her. And what we're trying to learn with her is just that sometimes the monkey mind, that ego, can go crazy. And you can be like, whoa, I can't even follow what's all happening. And meditation allows you to just allow that monkey mind to start to become muted and resting in the place of enoughness.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not even be aware or consciously thinking or feeling I am enough, there is enough. You don't even have to, because the beauty of the truth of our innate enoughness is that it just is. And sometimes we can just sit in that without even having to fully grasp or process why or how. Yes. Just being in it, right? Like this,
yeah.
Who said it recently that we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Yes.
And we can just be.
Yeah.
And when you're allowed and give yourself the space and start to experience the enoughness of just being, mm-hmm. you can then do from a place of being, right? Exactly.
And the idea that we have to bring something to that moment is actually the opposite of what's true.
Yeah.
The less we have to bring into that, the better.
Yeah.
The more empty we are, the more broken we actually are, the more broken and empty we feel, the better in that scenario, because then we actually leave room for the spirit to fill us.
Yep, exactly.
So
that's a great practice if you're very new and you're like, whoa, okay, maybe there's a spirit in me. I have no idea how to connect to it. Just simple meditation. I remembered the app. It's called Headspace.
Ah, okay.
It is very not religious, very not spiritual. Cool. It's just the simple practice of letting your head stop, breathe, and just be. It's so good. So Headspace, or I Google, 10-minute guided meditation. Sometimes they're on gratitude. I love Deepak Chopra has some really beautiful ones.
Yes.
I mean, there's all kinds, but you can, any of those just allow you to start to experience the state of being and not doing. That's what meditation, really offers you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, I think we've covered like a ton of ground.
So there's a little drop in a bucket.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about feeling like empty and full. Like I feel like we've filled the buckets today. But I think it's been good. I think it's been a good conversation and hopefully not confusing. Like I think we've kind of followed the thread of answering the question of what is the benefit of seeing life through a spiritual lens. There's so much more to talk about, though, in that vein.
Probably always will be.
There will be, because we'll always be learning more and experiencing more and new and different things. And those experiences allow us to see different aspects of the spirit at work through us. So, but I think we'll close off for now. We've got more questions that we're going to tackle in other segments. So hopefully you'll stick around for those.
So our plan is to have a mini series here that we're of questions that we've been wrestling, but we're also totally open to any other questions that maybe you wrestle with, but you've wrestled by yourself and you want a wrestling partner. Like, tag me in. I'll get in here. I'll wrestle WWF. For a bit. Roshan will wrestle. We'll double team it. Like, throw them at us, right? Like, throw out a question that you're like, okay, I've wrestled this one by myself enough. You want to come in and give it some time.
Yeah. Sure. And I want to, like, personally, I want it to be like mud wrestling, because, like, throw us all the, like, questions that you might think are taboo dirty. Or dirty or muddy or messy. Yeah. Like, the messier.
The dirtier, the better.
Yes, in that voice. Like, literally, the messier, the better, because that's how we learn and grow.
Yeah.
And progress in our thoughts. And it's not just us telling you what we think. It's us just sharing what we've experienced and seeing what you guys have experienced too.
Yeah, and let's be honest, it's real and it's more fun.
Yeah.
Than talking about the same old that everybody's comfortable talking about.
Yeah, I want to be in a place where it's not comfortable so much.
It's real though,
yeah,
right?
It's more real.
Yeah.
So, real. Like I said, we don't have a name for this, whatever this is, whether it's a series or whether it continues on. We're going to figure out where we put it. So by the time you're actually listening to this, it has a home. If you want to suggest anything to us, please, comment or message us. So I want to mention the way to get in contact with either Val or I. We're on social media. So if you look up Val Johnson, And she's got an awesome Facebook page with, if you've never heard Val speak, you need to check out some of her recorded videos. Sometimes she'll go live on Facebook, so if you get on her page, you should definitely keep your notifications turned on, because I do that, and all of a sudden I'll get like a notification in the middle of the afternoon that Val's live, and I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, I need to check in on this, because she drops truth like all the time, and it is so inspiring and soul lifting. I would say, I would describe it as that. So, Val, what's your Facebook page name?
Val Johnson Beautiful Alignment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And wherever we post this, we'll post links to, probably.
Yeah, that would
I'm
help.
Guessing that would probably be a good idea. If you want to check out poetry on Facebook, it's Poetry by Roshan, R-O-S-H-A-N.
Yeah, and you can message us through either of those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's probably the quickest and easiest way. We're both also on Instagram. You can find us there too, but I feel like Facebook might be the easiest first connection point. Mm-hmm. And then we can go from there. So thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back on again soon.
Yeah. Thanks. See ya.